Bibles and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. Isaiah, chapter 12. Six verses in this precious book. Let's read these six verses. Isaiah, chapter 12. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger's turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Time after time after time, we hear Isaiah using this phrase under the inspiration of God's Spirit, in that day, in that day, in that day. And he's referring to the day of salvation, to the day of the gospel, to the enlightenment of God's elect. And that Almighty God would be pleased to call his people out of darkness in that day. Now, it's not that we're looking at a specific date. I know many, many people, and if you have knowledge of the exact day and hour, and for that I'm glad. I'm glad. But as a general rule, you'll find that God's people, the Lord begins to teach, and they hear, and they're starting to have an interest, and they realize something. God has taught me. God has opened my eyes. When did he do that? Well, I don't know, but I know this. I see some things now that I didn't see before. And the Lord has been pleased to reveal something to me, reveal himself. In that day, Isaiah says in verse 1, in that day, thou shalt say. You know, out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth is going to speak. He says, in that day, thou shalt say, O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. O, Jehovah. Lord, Lord. Father, Son, and Spirit, I will praise thee. Lord, I'm going to say to you what you have said concerning yourself. What does the Lord say? Isaiah 45:5, this is one thing that he said. I'm the Lord, and there's none else. There's no God beside me. Nobody rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth but me. I'm God. Oh Lord, I will praise thee for your mercy to me. You know, the Lord does us well by reminding us often how merciful he is to us in keeping us, preserving us. I think to myself, how little, and I say this embarrassingly, Jim, how little do I find myself thanking God Almighty that he would call me out of darkness and give me a new heart. Give me a new mind. Give me a new love. Teach me something of myself. And give me a heart to call upon him for mercy. Isaiah says, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Though thou wast displeased with me, thine anger, thy displeasure is turned away. Now I can tell you for a fact that God's people, God's elect, the church, the bride, the chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ have never been under the wrath of God. You say, how can you know that? Well, the Scripture says he hath not appointed us to wrath. And he hath, having not appointed us to wrath, God doesn't change. God never changes. God never has looked upon anyone one way and then changed his attitude or his look and saw them a different way. Then he would have changed. He'd have changed somewhat. And he said, I don't change. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you supplanters, you tricksters, you who by nature are rebels against God, that's the reason that you're not perishing. Because I don't change. So I know this, God's people, God's elect, were never under his wrath. They've always been accepted in the Beloved. Always accepted in Christ. But his anger, he says, thou wast angry with me. His anger is best understood. And I looked up that word specifically, make sure I understood it. You know, Scripture says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You think Moses was a believer? The Lord said, Moses wrote of me. Moses knew God. But the anger, the displeasure of the Lord has been turned away. And his anger is best understood to be turned away when we, by faith, behold the cross. When was his displeasure with his people? I tell you what he did. Wrath that has never been spewed out upon us personally was spewed out upon our substitute. And we in him. He bore the brunt. He took the wrath of God Almighty. I was telling you about that ark last week. All of them that were in the ark. Did the rain fall on Noah? Yes. Yes. But he was in the ark. And the ark took the wrath. The ark took the rain. I was thinking, my mind went back to that. I was driving through Clendenin Thursday afternoon, Thursday 12, 1, I don't know when it was, going down and preaching for Tom Harding, and I told Glenda Jean, I said, I cannot believe the rain. It just, if I'd have been in a car wash for 2 hours, it wouldn't have been faster. Windshield wipers were just almost useless. It was amazing, the rain. But I think about when Almighty God poured out, and the heavens opened up, the earth opened up, and poured out the wrath. Noah and his wife and his boys and their wives, they were in the ark. Isaiah says, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. You know, I think concerning the Lord turning away his anger in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we could, with a heart convinced, scripturally, There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. His anger has been turned away, his displeasure poured out upon Christ. But even now, lovingly, he chastens us because he loves us, because his anger has been turned away, and there's no condemnation. Now, in loving kindness, he chastens those that he loves. And Isaiah says, "You comfort me. You comfort me." David said, "It's good that I've been afflicted." I think about the chastening hand of the Lord and how I need it. I need it. It's good. It's good that he corrects me and leaves me not to myself and shows me something. I told you time and time again, my children, they'd need a spanking. They're going to get it. And I told them. Every time they knew how many licks they were going to get, they knew just exactly what was coming. And after I whipped them, I put them in my lap. I'd dry their tears and I said, "Now listen, I love you. I love you. I didn't do that because I hate you. I did that because I love you. You're not going to act like that. You're not going to walk like that. You're not going to talk like that. You're not going to do it." And I said, if I don't spank you, I said, "The Lord whipped me for disobedience." They grew up as adults. They finally asked me, "Say, I never understood what you're talking about, but I do now." Isaiah says, "Thou hast turned away thine anger, and thou comfortest me." He said, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you." Here the Lord of glory has ascended into heaven. And now he ever liveth to make intercession for his people. And we're comforted by that. I know by faith right now he's interceding for his people. You say, "Well, what is exactly being said?" I don't know. But I can tell you this, whatever is needful, he's performing. He's doing. And that's a comfort to me. We have an intercessor. I have a mediator between God. Remember when the people told Moses, "Go up on Mount Sinai." They said, "We don't want to go." It was lightning and thundering and it was loud and it was fiery. And he said, "Moses, you go up. You go up for us." What believer would say, I think I could just talk to God myself. I don't want to talk to him. In myself, of myself. I need for one in whom he's well pleased. I need one accepted of him. One that has obeyed him. One of whom he says, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased." You hear him. Lord, intercede for me. That comforts me. Thou comfortest me. We hear the gospel of God's grace being preached today, and I know this. The Scripture says that it's the power of God and salvation. And I can stand here, Pat, with a ready heart and know this. Preaching and exalting Christ, honoring Christ, setting forth Christ, talking of him, and not talking about myself, I can, with a comforted heart, say this. This is the message. That's a comfort. Verse 2, "Behold, look upon this by faith. God is my salvation." God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is my Savior. He has eternally been appointed as the surety of the sheep. Eternally has He been God's provision for His people according to His everlasting covenant, promised in His Word and sent in time and revealed to be the author and finisher of our faith. Behold, God is my salvation. God is my salvation. Well, I thought it was my baptism. I thought it was my decision. I thought not in that day. Not in that day. That's not what a believer says. Here's what a believer says. Salvation's of the Lord. That's what a believer says. Salvation is of the Lord, and I don't have any confidence in my flesh. I will trust and not be afraid. A believer is not presumptuous. He's convinced by the grace of God that God has been pleased to save him. You have any assurance to yourself? Let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he speaks under the inspiration of God's Spirit, 14 to 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God's people given a heart to look to Christ, trust Him, love Him. Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And they hear the Word of God. They hear the gospel of God's grace preached. They hear the message of redemption. They hear the message of irresistible grace and of the preservation of the saints. And the Spirit of God, the Scripture says, bears witness to their spirit. This is what He says. You're mine. You're mine. You've been bought with a price. Your mind bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. He said, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, Jehovah is my strength. How strong is that? Well, the Father chose me. The Father chose to show mercy to me. Who am the least of all the saints. That's what Paul said. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. What is the strength? God Almighty, Jehovah, the Father chose me, and the Son redeemed me, laid down His life, shed His precious blood for His people. Yeah, but He's given me a heart to believe that He died for me. I believe Him. I believe Him. He that believeth on the Son, he that believeth on the Son shall be saved. Now, you think about this. Everybody says, well, I believe in Jesus. That's not what He said. He that believeth on the Son means that I believe that He is my salvation and not me. I'm telling you, the day that God Almighty opens up a man's heart and gives him a new heart, a new life, gives him a new spirit, new love, when God Almighty saves a man, I'm going to tell you something. This is what He's going to say. This is what He's going to say. The Lord, Jehovah, is my strength. And the Spirit of God has called me out of darkness and regenerated me. He had to give me life. And until He gave me life, I didn't know him. I did not know him. When he gives life, he gives faith to believe. Somebody asked Brother Henry Mahan, which comes first, life or faith? He said, you can't separate them. God Almighty speaks and his people believe. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. I'm going to tell you something. God called a man and a woman out of darkness, and they've got something to say now. They've got a new song. Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, 10. Here's the song of a believer. This is a believer song. I listen to all these so-called Christian rock. So, you know, it's just, oh well. Revelation 5, verse 9, 10. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy, take the book, and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. And the scripture says, and also, he also is become my salvation. You know the beauty of looking up words is you understand what they mean when you understand. Become. You know what that word become means? Accomplish. Doesn't that make sense? He has accomplished my salvation. He's the author of it, the procurer of it, and the applicator. He applies it. He has accomplished. He's brought it to pass. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he went on purpose. He had a purpose. Whenever Pilate was, he was standing before Pilate, and Pilate told the Jews, he said, you crucify. I don't find any fault in him. You take him. You kill him. I told you last week, well, the Jews' manner of death was stoning. But the Lord had said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It was prophesied he was going to be crucified. And when he went to the cross, he went to the cross on purpose, according to God Almighty's everlasting covenant, to show mercy to his people. And he went and he bore the guilt of all that the Father had given him in electing grace. John 10:15, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He died for the sheep. Did he die for everybody? No. No. Does he pray for everybody? He said he didn't. John 17:9, he said, I pray not for the world. Who do you pray for, Lord? He said, I pray for those that you've given me out of the world. Is that not the plainest statement you've ever heard in your life? Did Christ pray for everybody? No, he didn't. Did he die for everybody? No, he didn't. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Some of those Pharisees came up to him. Chapter 10, around 25, verse 25, you know what I'm going to say. He said, how long are you going to make us doubt? If you be the Christ, you tell us. He said, I told you. But you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know they follow me. Verse 3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. John chapter 7. John 7. Verse 37. The last day. In the last day. That great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they. Blessed are they when God Almighty reveals to them the righteousness of God, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's righteousness. There's righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. Righteousness that is imputed unto God's sheep. At the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, out of his heart, shall flow rivers of living water." This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. If any man thirst, that woman at the well, he told that woman, as in John 4, remember she came and he asked her for something to drink. And how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan? Jews and Samaritans said, you don't have anything. Listen to the Lord's word to her. John chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus, verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," that water that she was getting out of that well, "you're going to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And then the Lord told her, he said, go get your husband. Oh, verse 3, back in Isaiah 12, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." And verse 4, "In that day shall you say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." Not only does a believer praise the Lord for himself, but I tell you, he encourages other believers to do the same thing. Verse 1 says, "O Lord, I will praise thee." Verse 4, "In that day, you're going to say." That's what a believer said. "You're going to say too, we're members one of another, brethren, one body. We're all engaged in worship to him. Call upon him, praise him, sing unto the Lord. For he hath done excellent things." What has he done? What has the one who is the subject of our songs, that new song, what has he done? I'll tell you what he's done. He's done excellent things. He's wrought out our salvation. You and I would have never, never, never not only thought of it, but can you imagine saying that we accomplished it? He has reconciled us back to God. He's done excellent things. He has ever stood as the surety. I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer. I've told you before, from the time, and I can't speak eternally. I don't know how to say that. But from the time that the Lord Jesus Christ has ever stood, which is eternally, as the surety of the sheep, I'm going to answer. The Father never looked to the sheep again to answer. I'm going to look to the one he trusts. That's what he said. It was the Father who first trusted in Christ. He chose them in him, and the Father looked to him. Always looked to him. He's done excellent things. Even now, as I said a moment ago, ever living to make intercession. And I'll tell you something else that he said he's done. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I'm telling you, many dwelling places. Somebody that knows a whole lot more about that can go ahead and comment on that, but I can tell you this, this is what the Lord said. And whatever the fullness of that is, here's what it means. We're going to be where He is. Father, I will that those that Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. He said, I'm going to prepare. I go to prepare a place for you. He went to the cross first. He went to the grave. Conquered death. Came out of that grave. Ascended into heaven. And He said, I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back. And God's people, they're looking for Him. They believe Him. Sing unto the Lord. He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth, Jews and Gentiles. All of God's sheep, they're going to know this. This is what they, in all the earth, every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, they're going to know this. How are they going to know? They're going to be taught of God. That's how they know it. God's going to teach them. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of the church. That's what that is. Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Great is the Holy One of spiritual Israel. Because He's in the midst. Remember when John... Look at Revelation. I'm going to end with this, and then I'm going to just quote one verse. Look at Revelation 1. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Look at Revelation 1, 12 and 13. Revelation 1, verse 12 and 13. John was on the Isle of Patmos. And a voice, he heard a voice. That's what he said in verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. In verse 11, he said, this is what the voice said, I'm Alpha and Omega, first and the last. And John says in verse 12, he said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now the Lord, thankfully, the Lord tells us what in verse 20, what those seven candlesticks were. It says in the middle of the verse, the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels, the pastors of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So here's what it is. These candlesticks represent His assemblies. They're like this one. It's just God's assemblies. There's one church, there's one universal church, and there's many assemblies. We all believe the same thing, we're all one body. But he said, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with golden girdle. The Lord says back in Isaiah chapter 12, That last verse right there. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. He said, I'm there. I'm there. He is in the midst of His people. In that day, this is going to be the cry of a believer. They're going to praise Him. Saying back to Him what He said concerning Himself. He said, I'm God. There's none else. Lord, bless the word to our hearts this morning for Christ's sake.